All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Highly Questionable. We have got Sarah Spain, we got Salmon Clinton Yates, and we have all kinds of exciting sports.
Rosé.
Is Draymond right that players are treated unfairly if they demand a trade?
All right, the Warriors beat the brakes off the Cavs last night. Andre Drummond did not play for the Cavs because the Cavs have decided they want to trade him so they can get their young guys some more minutes. As a result, healthy, capable NBA player is just going to be watching from the Oak. And that is something that Draymond Green is not here for.
I would like to talk about something that's really bothering me. And it's the treatment of players in this league. To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him is bull. Because when James Harden asked for a trade and essentially dogged it, I don't think there was no surprise or no, you know, there's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer and he's not good in someone's locker room and he's the issue. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line. At some point, this league has to protect the players from embarrassment like that. It goes along the same lines of when everyone wants to say, oh, man, that young guy can't figure it out. But no one wants to say the organization can't figure it out. At some point, the players must be respected in these situations, and it's ridiculous, and I'm sick of seeing it. Y'all have a great night. I'll see y'all tomorrow or Wednesday.
Clinton over there so excited about that because him and Draymond was wearing the same color shirt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now, what I find to be interesting about this is a certain irony. The Rockets kept playing James Harden under those circumstances because he was too good to not play him. A big part of why the Cavs are deciding they're going to park Andre Drummond is because he's too good for them to play him, right? The name of the game is whatever the team wants to do with a player, the player then has to abide by. But we are in a position as media and observers where we could look at a team that has Andre Drummond, who is good enough to play, and then saying he's not going to play. We should be pointing at them and saying, why are you not trying to put your best foot forward, right? At some point, we can understand that teams are playing for the future, but also demand that they do right for the right now. Because the thing that Draymond said that really jumped out to me was, it ain't like Andre Drummond can show up fat after this. He's still got to be in shape. He's still got to act like he's a real live NBA player, even though the Cavs won't let him play in the real live NBA.
You were halfway there, Bomani. Okay, it's not just because of the color of our shirt. I was listening to my preacher preach, and I swear by the gospel of every word he says. He even mixed in a misused word. He said castrate, when he probably meant to say castigate. That's okay, and I like that. And also, let me tell you something. He mixed in a cuss word where now Draymond cussing at press conferences is garden variety stuff. He cusses like a kid that's been cussing since third grade, like myself. I love this, okay? I don't even need to get into how much I agree with him because he's exactly right. But his whole tonality makes me feel like he's much more of a leader now than he was before. Before, I kind of thought he would be popping off in parking lots here and there trying to fight people talking trash. He's got recall on things that a lot of people seem to have forgotten about. I enjoyed this very much from Draymond, never mind the veracity of his actual point, which to me is obvious.
Draymond had 16 assists in the game, and then he's still feeling generous afterwards, handing out assists to the guy he's playing against. And for the most part, I agree that the rules are unfair, and they tend to favor corporations, they tend to favor owners, and it's really tough for players. But I think each individual case is different. The reason James Harden got dogged is for all the peculiarities and details of that particular situation. In a way that Anthony Davis wanting out, sure, there's some criticism, but he doesn't get treated the same way because he's not out handling himself the way Harden did, and because he also didn't create a team in his image, sign a 4-year deal, and then want out immediately after. This is the sticking point I always have. In the abstract, I am all for player empowerment. But in the specific, very often, what it means for a player to get what they want is to screw over their teammates, GM, coach, owner, and whatever plan those people made based on the contract that they signed. Sports is really tough because you all depend on each other. This isn't an individual thing. So while I do think that players should be able to decide where they use the talent that they have, there's something to be said for the difficulty in planning for the long-term future and success for a team if you assume that the contracts that have been signed will be valued and will actually go to their completion. That's where I get caught up in this, because I want to say he's right and he is in so many ways, but I also understand that it can't be a wild, wild west of any time a player changes his mind mid-contract, they just get their way out. And by the way, we absolutely do say that organizations don't know what they're doing all the time. We dog franchises all the time for wasting talented players. So that part...
Now, we dog franchises for wasting talented players, but his point about young guys, I do think is correct, that if a guy is struggling his first or second year, we are absolutely looking at the kid like, you got to figure it out, and not looking at the team and asking about how they teach him or how they are helping him figure it out. I think he's right about that. And where I disagree with you on Anthony Davis is, go ask some people in New Orleans how they feel about Anthony Davis. He got plenty of hell from that one, and people didn't give the team nearly enough hell for the ridiculous idea that they had of, we'll just pay you like play you like 20 minutes a game because it looks bad if you don't play and you are willing to play, but we don't want you to get hurt, so we're going to put you on ice. Like, that's why we are where we are with Andre Drummond, I would assume, more than anything else, is they want to make sure that they can trade him before he gets hurt so he doesn't get to play. How about you just hurry up and trade him if you care that much about him not getting hurt?
LeBron said he could have played the NFL in 2011. Do you think he could have walked off an NBA court and dominated in the NFL at age 26?
Yes. This is why the fans say we talk about LeBron too much, because the Athletic did a story about LeBron saying that he could have played professional football, that he could have done that. He could have walked out of the NBA and gone, and during the 2012 NBA lockout, he could have been a football player. And somebody decided to write that up, even with a detail about him being in high school and his bus was surrounded by Amish fans. I do not know if they did or did not have pitchforks, because if they did, my first question would not be whether or not they are Amish. Do I think that he could actually do this? I guess. Like, physically, LeBron James absolutely could play in the NFL. There is no question about that. But the one thing that we do not know, that I would think would be the biggest factor or biggest question as to whether or not he could play in the league, I don't know what's going to happen to him when he takes that kidney shot. Like, he took those high school kidney shots. That was one thing. I know I would not be down to take one of those kidney shots, and I'm pretty damn sure he wouldn't be down for them either.
Well, for me, the question about this is not whether or not he could play. It's what position would he play? And you talk about the kidney shots. To me, LeBron's lining up putting fingers in the dirt on the defensive line. That's where I want LeBron.
Whoa,
I would pay cash money to see LeBron getting after the quarterback with those long arms and that kind of reach and that kind of lateral movement. Maybe I put him at a strong safety to see him pop somebody over the middle.
No.
But I don't even care about whether or not he could do it. I'm sitting here daydreaming, thinking about fanfic of LeBron and his sack dances. Absolutely would have loved to see that. I'm now kind of bummed that we didn't. Alas.
Let's keep the sacks out of our fanfics. First of all, LeBron is the tight end. Okay, that's clear. He's going to do a little bit of blocking if he can take those kidney shots. His speed, his athleticism, his reach, his size, all of that is going to make him sort of Travis Kelce-esque. Could he dominate the league? I usually don't like these conversations because I think they're insulting to the people who spent their lives studying and understanding the game, not to mention all the physical work. He's got the physical stuff. Could he dominate? Probably not. Could he be inserted into a lineup and make some sick catches and absolutely make it in the league? I'm not going to be the one to tell him no, that's for sure.
The dude had people in that story, and I know he didn't write the story, but the dude had people in the story trying to make the argument that he could have been Randy Moss if he was in the NFL. And I got news for you. If there was some dude running around Ohio in the early part of this millennium that could have been Randy Moss in the NFL, that dude would not be playing in the NBA right now. He would be looking like Randy Moss in the NFL.
Don't bite people, kids. It's not okay.
Can we go back to Sarah talking something about hockey players and licking? Like, that's a thing?
Yeah. Brad Marchand. Wasn't it Marchand with the licking? Yeah.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Burger King. $1 your way, only at Burger King. Do you question if the Wizards would be better at dribbling the clock out if they won more often?
All right, so the Wizards won in John Wall's return to Washington, and we got Rui Achimura, and he's trying to pass the ball to Denny Abdia. Did I say his name right, Clinton? You actually watched these guys play basketball.
Yes, you did, and unfortunately, right, I do watch these guys play. Maybe not basketball, but something.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
He threw the ball out of bounds, running out the clock.
First of all, this is the most disrespectful question. Would they be better at running out the clock if they won more games? It's a fair question, but it is also deeply disrespectful.
Yo, that look on Brad Beal's face right there, like, dog, are we that sorry? Y'all ain't never won nothing before in your lives. The other thing I love about this, though, is after the ball is thrown out of bounds, the Rockets are really trying to get that ball in bounds so somebody can get one more bucket before they take it to the crib. Like, the Wizards really played the pass on that one because the game was not over.
Everything about this was embarrassing. It was John Wall's return to D.C. It was an actual big game for the Wizards, who got to 2-0 miraculously in the last two games, and they still couldn't figure it out at the end, and Bradley Beal is still yelling at Bama's on the sideline. They cannot fix anything. This wasn't even the best highlight from this game of the lowlights from the Zards. You know what I'm saying? They got guys climbing all over the place. It was ridiculous in terms of under stands and stuff. It's embarrassing, man.
Favorite thing to say about the Wizards: I'm 40 years old, and the Wizards haven't won 50 games in my life.
Correct. Irrelevant franchise. No questions asked.
Do you question whether Adu Bedia bit his opponent?
All right, we are going to Indian Super League Soccer. That is where we're going. You're going to look for someone in an orange jersey. All right. Oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Bit him.
Oh, multiple times.
I mean, that is...
Like, aside from the general savagery of biting somebody, I mean, that dude all sweaty. Like, that, I can't.
Ew. And also in COVID times, seems highly unsafe. What is it about soccer and biting? I mean, I know in hockey we had the licking, in boxing we had the ear, but like, it's always the soccer players biting each other. Like, and then my guy afterwards is acting like he's got reality producers, like, oh, the cameras don't always show what really happened. This isn't The Bachelor where they're like cutting away and then putting audio over a scene that never happened. Like, it's just a shot of you biting a dude. We all saw it.
In his defense, as the, I would say, foremost expert of soccer biters on this show, as a former Liverpool huge supporter and a fan of Uruguay, Luis Suarez has bitten a person on more than one occasion, but it was always an extremity, something you could really hurt. He got a little fleshy part, okay? If we had to really go full alive, if you hadn't seen the movie, you'd go for the fleshy parts. Secondarily, did you see the time and the score? That's knotted up at two. There is like the 97th minute. Blow the whistle, referee. Why are we doing all this with reckless fouls that late in the game? You could have avoided this. Don't bite people, kids. It's not okay.
Can we go back to Sarah talking something about hockey players and licking? Like, that's a thing?
Yeah. Brad Marchand. Wasn't it Marchand with the licking? Yeah. Wasn't cool. Also, did we get a close look at the sidelines? Is there any chance that Dan Campbell has taken over this team and that might explain the taking a hunk?
Kneecaps.
Were there any kneecaps lost in this endeavor?
Tonight on ESPN2, the Australian Open.
All right. Now, we got Serena and Osaka playing tomorrow night. Right now, we're going to show you Novak Djokovic. He was up a set in the fourth set, but down 4-1 in that set. And he, well, lost his mind briefly.
Oh, boy. There's an
Oh,
boy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It's always the racket's fault.
Most wow, likely. Those shoes don't look very expensive at all. Anyway, after this happened, he rattled off and won the next five games and won the set and won the match. So I guess good for him. Clinton, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued. I'm so over this guy's antics. He is like 10,000th on my power rankings of jokers in total of life. And every single time he smashes a racket, I want to change the channel. However, Serena versus Naomi, big time matchup in my household. I'm very excited about this. If you're wondering about my other jokers, Mark Hamill is high on the list. Jack Nicholson is high on the list. Nicole is high on the list.
Not a single one of us was thinking about Joker Phillips,
former Maryland strength coach,
Sarah,
is on the list.
Express your intriguement, please.
I'm mostly intrigued by the fact that these producers know how much garbage they hand us, that they set up this topic with, this is actually really interesting because they know that most of the garbage they hand us is not. This is interesting. First of all, this is a guy in Djokovic who got clowned by Kyrgios earlier in this tournament, which tells you everything you need to know, because Kyrgios is basically the joker of the league, and Djokovic is the guy that's deserving of this, the anti-vax stuff and the dancing during COVID shirtless and all the other, and now with the racket. So drawing attention to himself, but he continues to win. So I guess he gets the last laugh in that argument with Kyrgios. Serena in Osaka is going to be amazing. I don't have a list of jokers to compare anything to, so that's it.
Baby Joker from next Friday.
Why did you say the big Joker from about Spades. The Joker list? Because all that was going to make
Jared Leto was a good Joker for my money. I'm just saying.
And now that he knows I hate it, he's going to just continue.
Song by Steve Miller Band.
Heath Ledger was a good Joker too.
All right, that is the show. Sammy Yates has got a column up at theundefeated.com on John Wall. Sarah Spank, check out her podcast. That's What She Said.
And Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast.
You are always so good with that.
It's Rosé.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.